Hello, friends, and welcome to this week's episode of Grits and the Gospel. My name is Reverend Katie Griffiths, and I'm excited to come to you on the 17th Sunday after Pentecost, which is also World Communion Sunday. I am hopeful that wherever you are, you have had the chance to go and have communion as we celebrate across the world this beautiful coming together around the table. Let us come together now in a time of worship. The Lord be with you and also with you. Today's scripture lesson, the psalm lesson comes from the 37th psalm, verses 1 through 9. Hear now the word of the Lord. Do not fret because of the wicked. Do not be envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Live in the land and enjoy security. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will make your vindication shine like the light and the justice of your cause like the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret over those who prosper in their way, over those who carry out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. For the wicked shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us come together now and remind ourselves of those things that we hold dear in our faith. Friends, what do we believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we come to you today, humbled and thankful for all the generations that have come before us, for their example and their witness. Make the veil thin today so we can feel their presence, that we can have your love resonate through them once again. Hear us now as we pray those words that your Son taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Today's scripture lesson is the epistle lesson instead of the gospel lesson. We are in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Hear now the word of the Lord. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, for the sake of the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Lord. I am grateful to God, whom I worship with clear conscience, as my ancestors did, when I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Do not be ashamed then of the testimony about our Lord or of me his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel in the power of God, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. And this grace was given to us in Jesus Christ before the ages began. But it is now being revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. For this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. And for this reason, I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know the one in whom I have put my trust. And I am sure he is able to guard the deposit I have entrusted to him. Hold to the standard of sound teaching that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit entrusted to you with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Lord, these beautiful words, these beautiful women that have inspired us for generations, let their story come clearly through me, that they may be an inspiration to those who hear it today. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. One of the best gifts I received from my education at the Candler School of Theology was a widening of my worldview through books that were recommended to me. We used them in worship, we read them in classes, and women, mainly Black women, shared their favorite stories with me. Before I found my favorite bookstore in Macon, I used to keep my Amazon app open on my phone and order everything they suggested. I amassed quite a library and gave Jeff Bezos too much money. I did not keep many of my textbooks from my time in school, but I cherish the book suggestions that I now own. I think the world could use a little more expansion. I think one of the things that keeps us apart, that keeps a chasm between us, is that we don't read and learn from other cultures or even other parts of our own culture. One of the books in that part of my library is by Yolanda Pierce. She wrote a beautiful tribute to the women who raised her called In My Grandmother's House, Black Women, Faith, and the Stories We Inherit. She calls her book a work of grandmother theology, a subset of womanist thought. Grandmother theology is rooted in generational wisdom, in the way that time and age and maturity provide an alternative lens through which to know and understand God. It is that same generational faith that we see in the words of Paul to Timothy. Paul, from prison, is reminding Timothy exactly why he chose him to carry out his ministry. It is not just because of his own faith, but the strong faith he grew up with that makes Paul sure of Timothy's ability to lead and be of service to the church. Specifically, he points to Timothy's mother and grandmother, Lois and Eunice, that he knows shaped Timothy's faith. It is that same grandmother theology that Pierce speaks of, that same generational theology that inspires my own ministry and that of many of you. Is my faith the same as my grandmother and my great-grandmother? No, it is not. My faith is my own. But it is grounded in the times when my great-grandmother Lucy would kneel beside my bed at night and pray with me. It is grounded in the generous spirit of my grandmother Gogi and all she gave to the church. It is the faithful examples that I grew up seeing in all of the women and men in my family that give me a foundation to form my own faith and calling. We don't know much about Lois and Eunice, other than what is named here in this passage. But I have a feeling they built a household much like the one Pierce describes in her book. She says, the Jesus of my grandmother's house was not just Lord. He was a friend and confidant. Jesus came by to visit us on a regular basis, and for much of my early life, I thought that's just how it was everywhere that people believed. I thought everybody knew Jesus as a good neighbor who visited often. We called on Jesus when the groceries ran low or when someone's fever was high. We called on Jesus when the rent check was due or when death visited and laid us low. And we called on Jesus in celebration of times of joy, when bodies were healed and prayers were answered and relationships were restored. That faithful dedication to prayer and praise that Yolanda saw in her house was the same faithful dedication that Lois and Eunice. Paul uses that to comfort Timothy. He speaks of Timothy's tears about the imprisonment that he is facing, and Paul calls on the strength of Timothy's foremothers to remind him that he can do great things. For this reason, Paul says, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Paul is reminding Timothy to use their strength to find his own. In times of trouble, to call on the things that Lois and Eunice taught him to help remind himself of his own call that God has given him. The message to Timothy is powerful. It makes me think of all the women in my own family that have shown strength of faith as they navigated their calls. It reminds me of the times of prayer that we spent together as a family. The nightly prayers on our knees and the circles of hands held before family meals. They are still the women that I call when I'm feeling insufficient or doubtful. They are the ones I call when I need a reminder of God's love and blessings. Who are the women or men in your life that were examples of strength and faith? What will the generations that come after you remember about you? What will they say about the foundation of faith that you helped to give them? My nephew told me recently that he thinks I'm funny. I could not have been more excited when he said it. I almost wept. Being a place of joy and laughter is a beautiful thing that God has provided for both of us. Isn't that what we all want to give those around us? A place of joy. A place where they are safe to laugh and ask questions and be loved. It is those kitchen table discussions that ground us. It is the safety of the faithful women that provided Timothy with a foundation of faith that was strong. Those households of faith curated by consistently faithful women make us who we are. Pierce says it so beautifully. In a world eager to promote the newest wunderkind, grandmother theology carries us two or more generations back to the kitchens, hair salons, gardens, and church basements of older Black women who are often invisible in theological discourse, but without whom the American Christian church would cease to exist. I had a praying grandmother, and nothing I have accomplished would have been possible without her prayers. It turns out that in reading these lessons and poems and prayers and books about cultures outside of my own, I've been given so many wonderful lessons and treasured stories. But what is also made very clear is that we are not all that different. There may be some nuances that show us how beautiful each culture is in its own way, but at its heart, every household strives to be the same. These households, whether ancient or just a few generations back, or present-day homes, all just want to be places of strength and faith for those around us. Nothing I have accomplished would have been possible without the prayer of these generational women. Nothing Timothy faced as his mentor and friend was put in prison for doing the same work Timothy was trying to do himself would have been possible to overcome without the prayers of Lois and Eunice. I imagine they spent a lot of time on their knees in prayer. I imagine they spent a lot of time in their kitchens praying. There's something sacred about the kitchen tables that we gather around. My grandmother's kitchen table was the place that I had my first sip of coffee. Gogi took her coffee black, and I realized from the first sip that I did not. It was the place I worked on crossword puzzles or shelled peas or read the paper or stirred cheese muffin batter. A table where we are fed is a sacred place that is meant to bring us together and remind us of who we are. The food, the company, the people are all what matter the most. It is the same with the communion table. It is an outward symbol of an inward grace that we are given. We are called to come and to do it in community. Not just the community of those who gather today, but with the cloud of witnesses that came before us. And today, on this World Communion Sunday, we come together with those believers around the world. The table is a time to remember the Loises and Eunices of our own childhood. It is a time to be grounded in our own faith and honor the faith that our ancestors gave us through their example. So as you come to the table today, it is my hope that you give thanks for your own faith, but also for the foundation of those before us. It all began with the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. His grace covers us all, every generation, for all of time. Amen. As we go throughout the rest of our day today and our week, let us remember our time not only at the table in communion, but our time at the kitchen tables with our mothers and grandmothers and great-grandmothers, with those powerful women of faith that are the examples that we build our own faith upon. Let us find them and remind them of how much they are loved. Because in life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.